Welcome back to Australia's Survivor Talking Tribal. I'm Survivor expert. Expert? Oh my God, who writes this? That's so unfair. Oh man. I'm Chrissy Zaremba, runner-up from season 46 of...
Season 46.
It was seven. The only expert here is beautiful Shannon Gass, and that guy next to her. Sorry, but you're not really. He's my Georgie Porgy, two-time finalist, who loves to stir us all up and then spit us out. Mm. We have officially entered the part of the game where we're going to be hearing words like resume, big move, and good for my game. Here's a perfect example.
It's never Titans versus Rebels for my game. It is the players that I need, the players that I want to work with, and the players that I feel are in the way of letting that happen. I want to work with Ferris because we will work very, very well together. Eileen is a wedge for me working with Ferris, and I need to be in control of my game. I need to be in control of the game, and that means that I need to get Eileen out.
Oh, well, I don't know much about anything, but to me, this is insane. I feel sorry for Ferris. Kirby is literally just cutting all his limbs off. First she took Garrick, now she's taken out Eileen. This boy's legless. What's happening here?
He has no more right hands. How many right hands can he lose?
I just think that whole like mentality that we heard from Kirby there, it's just delicious.
She sat back.
It's advanced. It's fantastic. And to split it up into who I need, who I want, and who's basically useless to her, that level of strategic political thinking, she should be working in politics. It's just fantastic.
I said she should start a cult. You've I don't know if that's
that.
Politics.
Oh,
but,
well.
I mean, yeah, David Wright once said it's the people I trust versus the people I don't trust. That was kind of like his mentality. But the thing with Kirby is it's so dicey. Like, Ferris is on the side that she trusts. And, like, it kind of feels like this shouldn't work. Like, we've seen the middle-aged mafia do it with Viola and Mark, where he did not come back, even as much as he should have, and he just, you know, repeatedly tried to stab them just over and over again. But she said Ferris will be vulnerable. He comes back, he doesn't have a lot, and they do get to a point where through the rest of the week, they're very, very tight. So she's reading that very, very layered relationship very well. And I think Kirby and Ferris, one of my favorite dynamics ever on the show.
Really?
Like, in the rivalry that it's been, like, working together from week one, they're two of my absolute favorite characters on the show, and them apart, together, fighting, like, make a Kirby versus Ferris season one day. I guess that's this season. But.
Wow. So you're obviously not surprised that she pulled this off because Eileen's good and Eileen's been big for Ferris. This is a big move by Kirby. You not surprised?
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm more pleased.
Yeah.
Because it's the level of foresight that Kirby has to read the game so well. Mm-hmm. And that is like a very difficult thing to do. What we've seen from Kirby so far in this season is incredible people management, but it's her ability to rally people behind her flag that is just so impressive because very, very few people have ever done it in Australian Survivor. I know it's not easy to do, but she's doing it, she's doing it really, really
she's
well.
She's doing it well. So, Shan, were you surprised? Because I know I was. I thought he was going to unleash when they came back. But Ferris's reaction, it was kind of like he nearly was chuffed that Kirby wanted him all to herself.
Well played, Curbs.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Better you voting her out than me. No more wench.
Exactly. The whole point.
Yeah, I guess he didn't have a lot of other places to go. Yeah. Like, at the point where it's been a vote against him. I thought Ferris let a lot go in that Eileen vote, where he was having good instincts. He knew all the right questions to ask. Like, who's Mark voting for? Like, he knew where the red flags were, but he didn't really respond to them, didn't play his idol as an example for one of his allies. In saying that, I also think this season is so strange from a relationship standpoint. Probably one of the most fluid seasons I've ever seen. It's so transient that it's almost like your numbers don't matter that much. It's such a strange thing to say, but like building these long-term bonds, it's never going to be long-term. If you get it for two votes, that's like the longest term that you'll get. Every single vote through this merge has been extraordinarily transient with, you know, swing votes and different groups coming together. So for someone like Ferris, who makes it through that with someone who is trying to work with him, who keeps his idol. Like, he loses an important right hand in Eileen, who he calls his editor,
important
which I
important right
really,
hand.
Yeah, but it's
there's
like
some brain there.
The numbers, those connections seem to matter a little less in the season, where it's mostly about what caught in a storm am I jumping on for a vote or two, and can I survive? But, yeah. And he goes forward with that.
Oh. I don't know. I don't think it. I think that's too simplistic. I think how Kirby looks at it, it's basically the factions and the clans, and her faction has been whittled down to basically just Ring. And what we saw from Kirby this week is she grew her team when she picked up Jaden. Yes, I know we lose him in the second episode of the week, but she grew her team
and she sees
her path forward as sticking with the Ferris clan. Whether that holds next week or not, we don't know. The way the factions are aligning together is fluid, but we haven't seen many cross-factional people go rogue, except maybe Raymond in episode two, but we'll get to that later.
You say it's simple, but for me it's not simple. It's like in a world where everything is complicated, like the most tangible thing is that nothing matters. And like, yes, Kirby does build something. I'm not saying that she doesn't, and I think that, again, that's the longest home thing we have, and that she kind of builds a group of these four, not Raymond. So, like, her and Ferris through two episodes is a buildable thing that she has, which is long-term in what this season is. But if you look at the season, and that's, like, almost like the theme of the post-merge for me so far, is that, is there a truism? Is there a sacred connection among them? Because with Val gone now, and I feel like Val and Mark were almost that last duo, Rhee has, at parts, subtly diverged from Kirby. Raymond, not that he'd write Ferris's name down, but he subtly diverges. There's no locked-in pair. There's almost no truism.
They revert back to their family clan.
But no, they do, and that like in
or they go. Eden diverged from Caroline. He went home.
We
saw Raymond diverge from Ferris, and then Raymond does what he does, and we'll get to that later.
I'm just saying there's no sure thing.
And then on the Jaden vote, Kitty diverged from Caroline, and then the next vote later, she goes back.
Kitty's such a good example. Like, you can't even rely that Kitty and Caroline will necessarily vote with each other.
I don't think they'd ever vote against each other, though.
True.
There's the loyalty to the mafia family.
And same with Ferris and Raymond, and same with Rhee and Kirby. But in a season where you can't even rely on the deepest month-long plus pairs to vote together, it's just one of the most transient seasons I've ever seen. I'm so interested by it.
It is definitely transient and interesting, but it's what those, I'm going to call them family ties, if we're going to keep using the mafianology. Those family ties in those key duos, I don't see them breaking. I don't see Kitty voting for Caroline. I don't see Ferris voting for Raymond and vice versa. Yep. And I never saw Mark voting with Val. But as we whittle down the numbers, the person that finally puts the right combination together will get to that final challenge and maybe the final tribal council.
Georgie, so can we just circle a little bit back to Kitty for 2 seconds? So I have to, because you guys don't, you just said da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Kitty, was Ferris amazing to pick up on Kitty and Caroline's non-ability to fib?
I think he did because Ferris got absolutely nothing from Caroline in that conversation.
Nobody hit his instincts.
And his instinct was to go to Kitty next. And then Kitty can't lie.
No, she's too nice for this game.
Well, whether she's too nice or whatnot, the fact that he didn't get the information he needed from the boss, Caroline, he went to the 2IC, and the 2IC doesn't have the same capability to lie as the boss does.
Okay, Caroline thinks that she can lie to me, but I know Kitty will crack.
What name is he telling you guys to write?
Tonight?
Yes. Has he mentioned anything?
He's not mentioned anything to me yet.
Kitty.
I'm out of it tonight. I'm out of it.
Okay, can I ask one thing?
Yeah.
Why are the Titans so confident?
We just said that we'd stick together.
I get that.
Yeah.
But right now you're not budging because of a reason, because you're confident.
No, I just gave them my word that I'd stick to the plan.
He was picking up on both of them. They didn't have a name.
Well, they just
both. Kitty was the confirmation.
They had no name.
Can I say, we said last week we agreed that Ferris was the group for Kitty and Caroline. Still this week, I would have gone with it. Like,
really?
At every point, I feel like Ferris has given them so much trust. Like, if he wants to
they
be the leader
him.
In
and
the shield, jump on it.
I still agree with you there.
That's the one thing I
put the blame on Caroline there, where I think she has just made a few tiny errors of judgment in terms of strategic decision-making this week that I don't think is terminal to her game, but hasn't put her in a position of strength where she could be.
In a transient game where locking in on something for just some votes in a row could be so powerful, I feel like the Ferris group and Kitty and Caroline and what would have been Eden at the time, that like that feels
that
like such a group for me. Yeah,
that was the winning ship.
And they never go forward with anything as permanent as that. And I feel like Ferris comes back at points like, yes, they're splitting on Caroline. And yes, he's saying that like, he's giving maybe final three deals that aren't so legitimate, but like he says he wants to go far enough with them and they've betrayed him. And I feel like they should come back and just like attach themselves to something that more than one episode.
Shannon, there's a common denominator in all of this. And sorry, Chrissy, I just want to get it out.
I
so
love it.
Do you know what the common denominator is? It's Mark. Mark has bad plans. I
don't agree at all. I think Mark was fantastic.
Every time Mark has been touching something, like the landmine in the ocean. Like Mark sucks back Caroline, and then Caroline makes a bad decision. Viola tells Mark, I want to move on Caroline.
Yeah, he says
no. Viola goes home. And then if we go to episode 3, I know we're going back and forth this week.
No, I'm following.
Val says, let's make Raymond suffer for another 3 days.
Mark says no.
Everything Mark seems to be touching turns bad. That's the common denominator in this thing.
Strong disagree. I thought Mark was near the best this week. I felt
he sent his ally home. He should have just listened
Valeria.
To her.
We'll talk about Valeria.
Val wanted Raymond to suffer.
Oh, sorry.
I feel like Raymond is was a little beyond the game, which we can talk about. In the first two votes of the week, Caroline is choosing between going with Ferris against Mark or going with Kirby and the Titans.
She listened to Mark and she stuffed up her game
a little bit. Yes. But it was great for Mark. He keeps a Titan 3 together, him, Valeria and Caroline, that are picked up as a block and get some power. And in the second vote, which we'll talk about, I thought he was fantastic using power to bring Raymond across in a way that won the numbers over. So, I mean, with a little bit of Reeve's shenanigans. I thought Mark was
a diplomat, a nice way of saying the third stuff up in 3 weeks.
I'm with Georgie. Marky, I need more from him because what you're saying, it is like he's just pressing things and it's not
going. He got Jaden out.
Mark, he did get Jaden out.
Oh, you and I are going to battle.
He won Raymond over that tribal council. I just think Mark right now at Merge is progressing through other people's mistakes.
I don't agree.
But their mistakes of his decision making in terms of strategic moves moving forward.
If you say,
is this a bad thing for him with 8 people left? Not necessarily. But if I'm a juror voting for who has the best game at a final tribal council, and then your bad instructions were why people were going home, I'm not giving him my vote for $500,000.
I think that you say that Caroline makes a bad decision. It's true, but Caroline's intentions don't have to align with Mark. Caroline is choosing between being with Mark, it's a group he united last week at the reward, or being against him.
Really.
She chooses to be with Mark. That's why I think Ferris dropped the ball in this first vote of the week, because I feel like Kirby gave them a rebel, Eileen. And they were like, all right, if we're going to try and stick to some sort of block of Titans for just a moment, they would go Eileen. If Ferris gave them like a Kirby or Rihanna, then, or like some, you know, some other rebel, maybe they go with that. But even in reading the signs, he's on the back foot and he gets done by Kirby. But I think that with Caroline, yeah, she should go with Ferris, but she chooses against, above everything, somehow.
She
listens to Mark. For her, a disaster.
And what happens when you listen to Mark?
Bad things happen. If she hadn't listened to Mark, he would have gone home. He saves himself there and he had the loyalty. So I thought he was great there.
All right, guys, we went really deep, really hard, really fast. I just want to ask, Raymond's advantage, have we seen something like this before? Wait, maybe we should... I feel like we should hold on that because I'm learning stuff as we go here. That's like a wide world of Shannon. Teach me something.
World of Survivor with Shannon. We're talking crazy advantages because Raymond's advantage, which he finds in the popcorn. Did you clock that in the popcorn? The second I saw
the popcorn, because, I'm like, there's something in that popcorn. Having played twice.
Way too big. Yeah. The candy.
Yep. Yeah.
Emma's had it. Yeah. Johnny's had it.
Yep.
That's a big thing in Australian Survivor. So once he gets that, this was a crazy, crazy advantage which we'll talk about. So maybe I should throw in some fake ones for Chrissy, some fake advantages. What can I make up on the spot? No, let's talk about some fake, not fake, real.
Real, please.
Crazy twists and advantages.
Yes.
So what are some fun ones? Well, the 50-50 coin. I love the 50-50 coin. It is my ultimate advantage. It's an idol, but instead of it just working as an idol, you flip it. And if it lands for you, it works. And if not, you go home. I loved it.
Oh, well, that's because you're not out there, Shen. That is intense if you do that. If that flips and I'm out, that's so unfair.
The reason I've always loved the 50-50 coin is because It's kind of complicated to explain, but in using a mutual incentive, so if you have a 50-50 coin, you use a mutual incentive of an opponent as an example. If I come to you and say, hey, maybe I'm going to idle you out, but maybe I'm not. I don't know. You don't know. We're both in this precarious position together. Maybe we're not. Maybe we both vote out George. It creates, with the randomness, you can push it to it. So I've always really loved that. It's never been used really in that way, but I've really thought there's opportunity there. That's a fun one. Here's a fun twist. Tied Destinies, they did this in Survivor South Africa, was taken, I think, from Koh-Lanta, the French version. Mm. Top 10, everyone Top got 10. Given a pair randomly, and you win immunity, your pair wins immunity, you go home, so does your pair.
Yeah.
Voted out, you both go home. So kind of like Blood versus Water, but very, very, very different, actually. Nothing like
that. Would be
blood
a terrible twist.
They did in Survivor South Africa.
Wow. Mm.
I told them not to. But, yeah.
Well, I thought Raymond reading his advantage, disadvantage, that was just so intense because it was so long and I didn't even think he got it at the end because I was flipped. I was like, this is amazing. Oh, my God, this is really bad.
He said it was a disadvantage.
Yeah. I was like this
ways,
the whole time.
In many
it was.
Ways,
and then, wow, look what we run into.
Yeah.
Okay, doesn't matter how well we get, high school never ends. Here's the proof.
If you like this, can you move that, go that way? Still in there, Emma. Get out
bum,
of his face.
Bum, yeah. Bum. Can you please? Absolutely, I feel left out. You know, I'd been working with Ferris for the last four tribal councils, but now it looks like he is very in with Kirby. I am definitely the third wheel in that relationship.
Oh, my days.
Did somebody get a bloody wambulance? Are you kidding me?
No, I feel bad.
Didn't
Ferris
you
just drops Alex.
You didn't like
boyfriends.
Being the third wheel to Shawnee and Liz, though.
I'm sorry, Ferris didn't drop Alex. Alex just needs the constant spotlight of attention on him.
I disagree.
What do you disagree about? He just said, I this, I that, I need to
well,
talk to...
He feels
to
a
like
lot
down.
Of Survivor contestants
and
say, I
happy
this,
the
I that.
Yes.
I mean, yes, it's the main
yes.
glass houses
I'm aware
and stones.
They do.
I feel
do
like,
you think Alex should have talked
Alex,
to Ferris?
Yeah. I think it was rash to jump.
Yeah.
But I think there's meaning. It's not just the one conversation. The meaning is Kirby. When Ferris brings up Alex's name at the well,
yeah.
Kirby's like, Alex doesn't trust me. There's such a divide. Later in this episode, they're going to vote yeah. for him. I know that the vote changes, but Kirby's so keen to be like, we'll change it now. There's clearly a big divide. It's not that Ferris has another. It's that he has another who was Kirby, who was an enemy of Alex. And I feel like maybe Ferris should have given a little more to tell
How
Alex.
How is Kirby an enemy of Alex?
She says that Alex doesn't trust me. There's clearly a pretty big divide there between them. I mean, she's willing to vote him out in this episode. She's so keen.
So what stops Alex having a conversation with Ferris rather than
saying,
going...
I think he should have.
I completely agree with you. I don't think he needs to jump, but I'm just saying there's meaning there. And you might put that on Ferris to say, if he's going to go align with Kirby, and I love their relationship because they clearly have a connection, but like, that bond has to really be like invested into, and then yeah. it's so loud and transparent. And I think if Ferris is going to do that with an enemy or someone who has a big divide from Alex, he can go to his ally and Alex surely and be like, hey, we're on the bottom. We don't have the numbers. This is our lifeline. Let's attach to it for the one vote that this season requires. You know?
I just didn't like the way that Alex switched straight away alliances, and it was in 2 seconds. It's like he had a bee in his bonnet,
agree.
And he was cranky. And he
I don't think he needed to.
He dialed the Samoan ambulance and went, "Oh, mummy, Ferris doesn't like me anymore. I need some help." It's like, get over it, bloody hell.
So are we going with flexible
Alex?
Play or floater play here then? Because I have to lead into that.
we've been talking about it all season.
I don't
and
like it.
I think I said sitting here on this couch a couple of weeks ago when someone offers you no value, that is the compromise target
no
in a
value.
War. Absolutely zero value. Because look what happens to Ferris here. Ferris drags along the floater and the floater drifted away to a minority alliance. He's still in a minority. He still hasn't voted right apart from one time at a tribal council. And then he turns into a high school debate. It's like, I don't want to watch that. I want to watch someone actually do something of meritorious value and make a contribution to the game of Survivor.
He voted okay. right twice.
You're being mean. Stop talking about Alex like that. Big move-itis struck a few people. Move-itis.
That's big move-itis. Yeah, yeah.
There's a cream for that, Chrissy.
Let's start with Kitty. What do you think about her playing the double agent this ep?
I liked it.
Yeah,
I really think she executed
it
well.
Shen's shaking her head
again.
What do we want to do every time? Kitty has been playing a middle-of-the-road game, which is a very valid Survivor strategy.
Yeah.
She's picked her people... good some weeks or good most weeks in terms of Caroline, bad in terms of that tribe swap period where she didn't realise that Rhi and Sarah are the ones to go with. But in terms of wanting to do something different to Caroline but still not harm her, I did that with Kara in the Outback. When I was playing a double agent, there was one move when I voted off Gerald. I didn't want to tell Kara, but Kara
But it didn't affect Kara.
It didn't impact her negatively, and I feel like that's where Kitty was coming from there.
I know, Caroline, whatever happens, you and me will be friends.
Oh.
Good friends at the end, hey? No matter what happens.
No matter what happens. Okay. No matter.
That's what matters to me.
Yeah.
So right now, my gut is telling me I have to put the personal feelings aside and I have to think about how do I get Kitty to the end?
Kitty's so nice, and morally she's in a big dilemma. That's my view. I'm just watching this poor girl. She looks sick. She looks ill all the time.
I guess that's
She's walking around. Like, she's fading
honestly,
away.
Honestly, I don't think I have strong enough opinions to like really go to war with you on this because I don't...
Oh, this will be a quick segment.
No, just because I think that, again, like... Surviving is the key here. Because
100%.
Because the group you attach to, again, are so transient. It's hard for me to really... Like, again, she immediately comes back. But for me, for Kitty, firstly, it feels like they're bringing over numbers. She can probably wait for that. Then she's going to go right back to them. Like, at that point, at least pick a lane. But I feel like she doesn't need to flip. Again, it's just about surviving. It's just about getting in these groups. Yeah, does she need someone like Vel or Alex? No. You know, like, they're not connected to her. Like, again, this is a very, very fractured group where just protecting Caroline might be enough. But if she feels so bad about it, it wasn't that necessary. Like, it's more for her. Like, if she's so emotional, it's like, you don't really need to do this.
What I respect about Kitty's decision is she came up with the plan to be a double agent. It protects her closest ally.
She was a horrible double agent, though. She immediately gave the name. Like, there's a leak. They're like, Jaden. Well, Jaden was part of that too, but like, Jaden knows the name. So there's a leak.
What about Jaden's outburst, though, when he just cranked out, no, I'll be fine. What was it, Lord Jaden? What was that part? That was
Caroline called him Lord Jaden.
See, that's relationships. That's your stuff again about how you talk to people, because he was peeved off at that.
Sorry, Lord Jaden.
I thought we were doing what we did last time.
All right, Lord Jaden.
Oh. I didn't like that comment that you said before.
Comment.
He said, Lord Jaden. I didn't like that, eh?
It was in jest.
Nah, it's not funny. I'm the one who started the fire. I'm the one who did all this. I'm the one who did everything. And now you want to comment on the coconut.
I'm sorry.
About that, Caroline. You know what I mean? You're over there talking and I'm the one starting the food for everyone. And then you want to make comments about the coconut. It's not funny, man, you know? Okay. We don't have a relationship like that, so...
We heard Eden say at the start of the season, when you hear your name, you go a little bit kind of Coo-coo. Like jittery. So not everyone has that experience, but I think that was the first time legitimately that Jaden knew he was under threat because he was told by Kitty that he was the target.
Yeah.
And didn't he become snappy, Tom, when he felt a bit of pressure in the game?
Yeah, because he was cranky, but then look what happens.
Do you know what I noticed? Kitty goes to Kirby, and I feel like that relationship's been interesting because they're...
I think they're
oil and water in ways. There is a social reconnection that we've seen. But I think when you want to go to the power, you go to the boss, and that's Kirby. And we see that with Kitty and Kirby. It's like she's terrified of her.
Mm-mm.
Kind of like how maybe Chrissy feels about me. Terrified, but with respect, I hope. I say
respect, absolutely, but I'm still scared shitless.
and I feel like we've seen that, like, social, like, this is what it is with Kirby. It's like, so often it's like, it's too harsh, like, it's too much, like, it's scaring people off, but then it also, like...
Yeah, it brings them in because they're captivated.
Yeah, exactly. They're just
100%.
Like, what do you have? Like, give me some of that. So I feel like we see the pros and cons.
She just, Kirby
Thank
just
you, Lord
has
Shannon.
The...
What? No, that's really mean. Nice. That's a really mean joke.
I'm just joking.
I know. I'm
sorry, Jaden. Calm down, Jaden.
You're doing the gaslight part.
She was being Jaden.
I literally followed it on, and you were like, "I'm kidding." I'm like,
I can't help but unsee how. Excuse me, you two.
You called yourself King George.
No, I didn't.
You could be
Rachel
Lord
called
Shannon.
Me King George, and I ran with it.
Who called you? You? I guess you're not Macedonian.
I was lying
Jesus.
Down. I was lying
you
down.
You made a lot of King George merch,
and it sold.
I know, I'm just saying from an ego perspective.
You sent me 50, King. You sent me 50.
You sent me nothing. You sent me not
I
one.
Wish it was still going. Anyway, back to work.
Okay, back. No. What were we saying? Oh, no.
Lord Jaden. And
Lord
Jaden.
Kirby. Kirby making Jaden feel so loved, cared for. Listen to this. I loved the idea of this pair. Yes, did
this,
you?
This is huge. This
he
is
just wanted
like
to be heard.
Most advanced level of Survivor gameplay. To speak to Jaden at night, she gave him what he missed from the entire middle-aged mafia, which was respect. and she collaborated
George
with him 24 hours before
choir.
A plan happened.
I agree.
Happened. It's
you
incredible.
Know what it is, well, I'll agree with you on that. I feel like it was funny. It was kind of funny to me how she was like it was in a great way, but she was like, Jaden doesn't like to be left out, and now I know that. So, like, I'm going to give him what he needs.
So I'm going to give him what he needs.
But the most important thing, she didn't need that number. She goes to a 7-on-4 on the Eileen vote. Mm. She didn't need to do it. And we've seen that with Jaden often. He's not someone who, like, if you include him, and the Middle Age Mafia have done this way back when, like, against Viola. Mm. But, like, if you initially include him, he's not going to blow it up. He's going to be thankful. Mm-hmm. He's going to stay with you. And you're going to get that loyalty until at a point maybe where you vote out winner. He had also flipped to be with winner, to be fair. But mm-hmm. I think, like, he will kind of take shelter there for a while, and she
But he's also holding his own. Like, he's dominating in challenges.
He's
calling himself the number one.
He went home.
No, I know, but I still feel like I'm on the Jaden train.
He's done.
You're not listening to me. What I'm saying, I'm talking about... Okay, fine. All right, fine. I've
You're
really got to let him go.
You're talking as if he's still here. No, like, you can already glory or death him. Like, I just
Some
can't.
People need more
what
respect
I,
to stay
if you were to
season.
My takeout, noting that Jaden's gone... from that whole expose of Kirby winning him over, is she has the clear capacity in terms of a game player to win people
Players
on
over.
Her side.
She always has had that.
But that is proof in the pudding. It's all well and good about hypothesizing about this could happen or that could happen. Kirby can do it. If Kirby gets in trouble, like she has in the game, she won over Scott from Team Ferris. Yeah. She won over Jaden.
But she doesn't just win over.
Somewhere between Mark and Caroline. And they commit.
And even Kitty says something in the challenge coming up. I couldn't let her win. You know, like, says it to Kirby. I couldn't let her win. All right. So Raymond's flipping was a big move-itis.
It was.
move-itis.
Pom-pom, where are you?
Or was this just a long-term plan with his advantage?
Yeah, can we talk about that tribal council? So should we walk through what the number... Like, because I thought that tribal council was kind of hilarious. Like, So Kirby's side pulls over Kitty.
Yep. Mm.
So now they should have the advantage. But then Mark's side pulled over Raymond. And you have to admit, Mark does
Mark
well here.
Mark pulled over Raymond at tribal council.
And what was the threat of that? Raymond comes to Alex, tells him, I'm interested. Alex is like, I'm not high enough in this alliance to give you a name. I can't blow things up. I'm in a pretty tenuous position. But he goes
That's infuriating. When you're playing the game, if someone doesn't respect you enough to try
so
and
break...
I've got an idea, but you tell me your plans because I'm not going to say mine.
And you know
bullshit.
They're doing it.
Well,
you know they're doing it.
I mean,
it.
Alex is in a precarious spot, and I think it's interesting because usually you'd be like, just give him a fake name and then try win on the 5-4-1, which
no,
ends
but he
up
didn't
happening.
Know
but
to
he,
do
he
that.
Well, he can't give him a fake name because it would be either Ferris or Kirby. Jaden as the target is actually the ideal target for Raymond, and probably all of them if it's going to go to a 5-5 situation, how many people are standing by Jaden. But I think Mark picks up on that threat. I mean, I don't think Alex does poorly here. He takes it back to Mark to be like, there's an option here, and Mark picks up on that at Tribal, reads Raymond really
reads
well.
Raymond,
and the thing is, well,
Raymond's
voting Raymond's... confessional. Yeah, but he says, he's like, Mark's a smart guy. Like, he attaches to kind of the power that Mark can put out.
And I think Raymond's a little bit sick of being Ferris's...
It's exactly that, Chrissy.
I feel like he's a bit bored. Like, he's nearly going to go rogue because he's like... I can imagine people are going, Raymond and Ferris.
Raymond.
Exactly.
Raymond.
Raymond, I don't think it's boredom. Raymond. I think it's what do I hang my hat on if I get to a final tribal council and what moves
do
I say?
Do you think that, King?
I definitely agree with you, Chrissy, because like we heard it from Raymond himself, where if his only perception is that he's Ferris's number two,
I know.
He's going to have a Matt Sharp experience at a final
and the resume,
tribal council.
The resume thing.
It is about resume.
Yes,
you're spot on.
Yeah. I don't know that this would... Like, again, everything's so meaningless. Like, yeah, he takes out Jaden, he has a good excuse for it. He tries to flush the idol. He does flush the idol.
He
comes back at a point where he's like, I was still with our rebel numbers, but he puts those numbers in jeopardy. I don't think that flipping alone
Raymond.
To what should have been a tie, I don't think that's necessarily the big move.
And
it is a big move, but I don't think it should be his big move.
Wait, so what happens with Ree? Because now I'm Ree confused. So Ree was supposed to vote for Alex.
So they pull over. So it should be at a 5-5 because they've both gotten one.
Oh, don't say 5-5.
But then... They have to, because, so at that point, he gives the name to Alex to play the idol on Valeria.
Got it.
It's clocked, which is good from the Rebels. And Ferret says he's good at reading a room. So they change the name. I actually feel bad for Ree because she's
going
to vote alone again, and she's going to prevent a tie again, which is what has happened in the pre-merge. But she was sitting so far from everyone. This is how we do live tribal councils in Australian Survivor. They didn't get up. In American Survivor.
And I reckon Kirby's
up.
I'm going to read the room here a little bit myself. I reckon Kirby regrets not getting up because I know she looked at Ree.
But the worry is that then Alex
wasn't clear.
Doesn't play it on Valeria because he thinks, oh, they're changing, so then maybe he plays it on himself, yeah, and then okay. Where do they... So it was... She did not get the memo, and that's what...
She did not get the memo. Uh-oh. Look, I know something's coming. Look at the look in his eye.
I just think you're spot on, Chrissy, because if you really think about it, Kirby has had to constantly micromanage Rihanna from basically day one
of the tribal council.
So it is so exhausting when you're in an alliance and the person doesn't have the capacity to think on the spot. And when Kirby, you see her turn and you mouth the word Alex.
Yeah.
And Reed doesn't pick it up. And Ferris is right next to her. And I can almost guarantee you he would have said the word Alex. And she still thinks it's the plan from 9 hours ago. Kirby's regret is she didn't walk up and stand and say the words to Reed. And it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. And I think you're spot on, Chrissy.
I think that's pretty, like, it's like the fact that Reed keeps voting alone is very funny. It's a very funny through line of the season.
Oh,
but I think that it's...
Kills me.
This is like, the seating of Tribal Council had her just like, completely in the middle of the enemy. I mean, Ferris,
the go with stand and move.
You're allowed to stand and move, but I don't think you're allowed to talk.
I know it's not on Ree, but like Ree's got to have a brain. She can't be waiting for someone to tell her to do every time.
I can get up and be like,
the regret, correct. The regret for Kirby is she didn't stand up because she thought, I've mouthed it, Ferris has mouthed it, surely 2 and 2 equals 4, you know? But in Ree's mind, it equals 75.
George.
Well, she didn't get the memo. It was pretty unfortunate to prevent another tie, but...
Oh, man.
That was a crazy tribal council.
I think the fact that he finally found a home, he found his tent
he
in
did.
Kirby, he
and
really was going to build momentum.
I felt something
here. I was
here.
Sad to lose it.
Yes, so was I. I'm still not over it. Okay, time for a quick break. Welcome back to Australian Survivor Talking Tribal. There were some Oscar award winning performances in episode 18 of Titans vs. Rebels. Let's have a look at this stuff.
I've got you all here. I want to just say that my head, my heart isn't in this game anymore. And I'd like you all to vote me out. I know it's a little bit embarrassing and I'm probably just going to go hang out over there.
Right. Love you, Ray.
Thanks, guys.
I can't stand to see him like that for another day. It does.
Yeah. No. What do you suggest? I mean, if everyone on the same page.
I was saying he's all for the humour and he's done it once where he's wrote down Kelly's name, he said something out loud.
So if
each of us write down his name and just say something nice.
I think that's really loud. Me too.
Were you dying? I was dying dead. And I was dead. And I knew it was fake and I still was thinking, oh, he's so sick. He wants to go home. That was amazing. I would have fallen for it hook, line and sinker. I mean, a little bit at the end, it seemed a bit desperate to me. But if you're Ray, it's working. You've got the 8 votes. If you take out the king or queen here, you win Survivor, right?
110%. You're talking about Ferris or Kirby.
Yeah, you write down those names.
I swear to God, I was thinking of the same thing.
And then we wrote Val.
Ray did everything here. He did everything. He threw hook, line and sinker at it. And when he's talking about at the start of the episode, I came here to make big moves.
This is it.
Make the big move. Vote out the best supporting actor, your closest ally, Ferris, with an idol you know about.
Love it. Love it.
Kirby hands over the necklace.
Yes.
Vote her out.
Yes, I'm screaming.
Val's
screaming
not an exciting vote out. Val's the lamb that gets sent to the slaughterhouse. Mm. Is Val a big move?
Yeah, because this is a big Ferris move. Scary. This is like the first time ever he had every single person believing it. It's never been done before. Yeah, I think... anyone is a big move. And it was a very risky move. So I think you can always hang your hat on that. Again, while I don't think flipping over to what should have been a 5-5 is a big move, I think something like this, honestly, I think almost no one should do this. But for Raymond, who feels like he doesn't have a resume for the end and who has little to lose, I'm glad he did. It's a very risky thing. I think that he should do it. But I wouldn't take out Ferris and Kirby because I think that
take him out.
I love them.
Big spectacular move.
The reason that I wouldn't do that is because I would do that if it was the final 6. But considering this is the final 9, it's a big move. You want to come back to a home and they actually take the risk to even bring in Kirby and then Rihanna.
No, I reckon everyone would have praised them. They'd be like that.
And then do they give him $500,000?
Yes, they do, because you get back to camp, you talk around that night fire and every single person went, I really underestimated you.
And then what do they do?
Look at this.
And then what do they do?
Look at this boy. He looks homeless. Like, he's got 500 grand. He had it in the bag.
They clap.
So a move like this, it's a big move. It's an individual move. It really puts you ahead as doing something that no one else has done. I think you want to come back to a home. And it's interesting that they do bring in Kirby and then Ree to come back with a 4 of 8. So he makes this big move. He gets something on his resume, but he doesn't come back completely untethered from everyone. I mean, especially someone like Ferris. Ferris is a key for him in the game. He should get rid of Ferris eventually, but I think to do something like that at the final nine, when his two closest allies at this point are Ferris and Kirby, it would be a huge move. It would be remembered forever, but I just don't see how he gets multiple votes through the game. If this was at the final six, I would say yes. I think that's the time to do something like this, but at a final nine, taking out someone like Val, who is on the other side, and it still is such a big move.
Look,
I think it was a good middle ground.
We can massively agree to disagree. But when for me, I can't think about too far down the track.
You've got to get there.
Because you've got to get there.
You've got
to
get there.
What if you don't get there? You're saying, oh, Ray. I'm just thinking, make that massive move, jaw-dropping move to me to take out.
I thought this was jaw-dropping anyway.
It was a jaw-dropping performance.
Ah, my jaw came straight back up when I read
Val. You give him credit for pulling it off. You definitely give Raymond credit for pulling it off.
100%. Val wasn't voting for him.
But it's not exciting to vote off Val.
Yeah.
That's Ferris's idea.
That's us.
It's just like you're doing a swap between the awards. Yeah. The best supporting actor came up with a plan. It's his plan.
Yeah.
I think that Raymond has had his reasons to want to get rid of Val as well. I think that he's the one who had the advantage. I still think he gets a lot of the credit. And I don't think that Raymond should ever sit at the end with Ferris. And I don't think that they should be competing for that credit. I just don't think that that would be what I do now. I think that at a point, surely someone like Ferris is going to be a threat to everyone at a 6 or a 5, but not at 9. That's so many rounds for me with very little room and nothing of a home to come back to when you've made yourself a massive target and a threat to do that and to get the resume points but still have numbers going forward. Like, he says that Kirby and Ferris are basically like his only attachments. At a point, someone's going to have a long-term connection in this post-merge game.
No, I think there's still connections. And I keep talking about fluid and stuff. I still feel like there's connections there. It's not like no one doesn't have anyone's back. It's just not as thick as other previous maybe series.
I mean, I really truly... Not one group has stayed as intact through two votes of this post-merge. It has changed every single vote.
I sometimes think of it like this. Would Raymond have been in any different or worse off position had he voted off Ferris or Kirby instead of Valeria? What would be different going back into camp for him?
He wouldn't have allies.
Nothing.
Nothing.
What majority alliance does he have now?
He's Kirby, still Ree, Ferris, and himself is 4 of 8.
Does he control the decision making? Is he the number two?
He can attach to it for a couple of votes, and then at a point they should come for the threats further
season
down.
Season 9 of Australian Survivor, we are beyond the person that attaches on wins the game. Raymond has said he wants to win the game and have moves.
And that's a lot of moves away. You know, like we're thinking about. I feel like if anyone saw, whether it be Kirby's side or Ferris's side, whoever's side, whatever, and I know they're together, people would have respected it. Anyway, let's go. So Val was ready to let him suffer for a few more days, but Mark stopped it. Mm. I know we've already talked about it, but again, our Marky boy, what is happening?
I don't know. It's just like I would have listened to Val. Yeah. Like, you've got to trust her intuition and judgment. She's a very intelligent and political intuition that she has is just gold. And she was right.
But I'm really tempted to take a big threat out right now because it's such a beautiful opportunity to do so. I would like to take either Rhiannon and Kirby out of this game. And I understand how it might look for Raymond. It might sound brutal, but surely it can last for a couple of days.
I understand that really kind of like Slavic mentality of, or if Raymond's sick and he refuses to quit, let him suffer. Let him suffer.
He's not going to... She literally said he's not going to die tomorrow.
Well, exactly
she was
right.
Savage, this girl.
She was convinced out of it by Mark.
Yep.
It's exactly what happened with Viola.
Yeah. So, Shan, do you think that the plan almost came undone when Kirby gave her Riri the immunity necklace when we went into tribal?
Well, we keep saying, like, should Raymond vote out Kirby, he wouldn't have thought that he could. She was immune. So it would have to have been Ferris, which I think would have been... unhinged. I mean, he's never, ever, like, on a realistic perspective, he's never voting his one connection out of the game
out
on that
game.
Twist. And then once Kirby does that, it's something he could pivot to. And I still wouldn't say that because that's that connection. But I guess at that point, that's why I liked it from Kirby, because it's like no one's thinking of her. And then in kind of moving it to Rihanna, it almost saves them both unless there's like some very quick thinking there. But in terms of Valeria, and Mark, I mean, he says they wouldn't be the numbers. They could get the numbers on 4. because it would be a 4-4-1. They'd win on a 4-3 revote. But I get it from Mark's perspective, honestly, because I feel like this move by Raymond, it was so unprecedented that it felt kind of beyond the game. And Mark's thinking from a social, even a jury perspective,
yeah.
And people have kept people in the game to suffer. Like, people have said, you want to quit? No, I'm using that as a move. People have exploited the situation. But I think he's reading that it at a point where he's not eating and not drinking, it felt, especially with what we just saw with Scott, where mental health has been such priority, I think he's thinking, like, do we want to be that evil? Do we want to get to a final tribal council and have no soul to speak of?
I hear 100% what you're saying, because I think this is too simple, but we're going to need 5 votes. I think that we won't get 5 people on board. And we have to think now about the jury. Like, imagine if we do that, like, all of the people who, like, Ferris and them, they will really hurt them in terms of their perception of us and in terms of, like, getting their votes at the end.
I can't really blame them for falling for it, because it was just ridiculously unprecedented and it
and
used
those that
these
fell,
elements.
Fell, like, you saw Caroline so
devastated. Yeah, she'd have
devastated.
To be one of those votes.
All right, so that's
Chrissy,
a perfect...
Yes. Like, just one subtle thing on the giving the immunity necklace to Ree thing. I've thought long and hard about...
So have I, because I'm so
why
confused.
Why Kirby would do that, and I think I know the answer. Because you saw the chat in camp between Ree and Kirby, and Ree was thinking about voting for someone else, particularly once she became aware of the plan after Kirby had told her. Yep. And I think that was a final safety people management measure from Kirby. Because if Ree felt vulnerable and she knew that one vote would send Raymond home, she might have done that deliberately for the first
time.
And
just gone, oh, you know what?
But wearing the necklace, there's zero risk of Ree going home and 100% chance of her voting for Raymond.
All right, well, you boasting again about our Kirby girl. This is a perfect time to play Glory or Death, Georgie.
Glory or Death.
Glory!
All right, let's have a discussion. I think this is a hard week to pick out the standout player, because I feel like, a bit like last week in that first merge week, we had a few ups and downs. Where are your thoughts, Chrissy?
Well, I wanted to give it to Ray, but then he flipped and then he didn't write the big guns' names down. So, I don't know. Do we go...
I feel like Caroline's not in the strongest position. No, I don't feel like it's the best week for
her. I haven't got Caroline. I haven't got...
Ree's made too many mistakes.
The name's in my
Alex
mind.
Alex is a floater.
I would think Kirby.
She votes out Eileen. Kirby as
and
well,
then even though she loses Jaden, she pulls in Kitty.
She's
connected to Raymond.
Yeah.
Then she gives
hands the necklace that
to,
she
yeah,
wins.
Exactly. She has a lot of power through that. I think someone like Kirby... Raymond, I would give points to Raymond for...
I'm giving
for
points.
Using,
Raymond was good.
Using the advantages he did, it was unprecedented, for going for it when it is a very risky advantage. And, you know, Ferris did well there alongside him.
Risky
and then,
advantage, all right. One name and he's
Yeah,
home.
One name, exactly. Which is, honestly,
you know
I thought that would have been kind of hilarious.
So should we...
Let's give out 2 crowns.
For Ray.
Should we give out 2 again this week?
I honestly thought Mark was also good, but I know you don't agree on that.
He's the only reason Jaden goes home, but then it's just
like... It's a big reason. It's a big person to go.
And he saves himself in that
I'm happy with Mark. I don't think he's worthy of a crown.
I don't know. He sent home Valeria and didn't listen to a better judgment.
He fell for a plan where someone wasn't eating or drinking. He has a heart. Should we punish him?
He does have a heart, but his judgment's just been so wrong since we've merged.
And I don't agree.
Basically, in the tribe swap as well, he's...
In the tribe swap, yeah.
Tribe swap period, he listened to Caroline too much. That's fine. Caroline plays well and good play gets rewarded. But even at merge, he's not in the driver's seat. He's in the passenger seat. And then the advice he's giving to his superiors...
Are we kidding?
Are we Kitty?
No,
have
I hated her
about
flip.
Kitty?
I hated her flip.
I'm just trying
I really
to go
did.
Through.
She had a good, yeah, I feel I like Kitty's in that category.
Kirby.
One good episode out of 3.
Kirby and give Ray.
Yeah, let's go Kirby and Ray.
Kirby and Ray and
I definitely
keep one
agree.
Crown.
All okay, right. No. Glory, Raymond. Glory. All right. We are saying goodbye to a few people this week.
Bye,
the first
Eileen.
One is a really sad goodbye.
It is. She
to
had
Eileen.
So much
She had a great game.
She did. She really did.
She was a fantastic player. A glorious, glorious death for you, Eileen. Goodbye.
Ferris will miss you.
Oh, I think that's how we all felt when she went home.
The
and then Jaden.
Michael Jordan.
The moment
See
he woke
later.
Up, he got sent home. Poor Jaden.
No, when he started playing.
Yeah, I know.
The game was over.
It was entertaining, though. Oh,
you came around on Jaden so
I did.
Hard.
I really did. Maybe it was all those Eshays. Eshay. And then the final person that went home.
I'll be back.
Our Russian.
Oh, our goddess.
Model, goddess.
She had a makeup
queen.
Artist out there.
Yeah, someone's the makeup lying. Artist. She was using
Jonathan
the sand in Samoa.
Zsuzsa.
Don't tell the people that. They'll believe it.
Oh, stop. There's no makeup Zsuzsa.
All right, Val.
I was joking.
Spasiba.
All right, and we need to wrap that up, Georgie boy. I love it. Stay with us for our chat with Val.
Val, thank you so much for joining me. You were one of my personal favourites this year. I got so many laughs out of watching you, and I'm really excited to have the chance to interview you as well.
King George, it's all pleasure of mine to actually speak to you face to face because you are one of my absolute favourites throughout the entire Survivor. So I'm very blessed to have a chance to speak to you today.
Thank you. Thank you. The feeling's mutual. All right, Val, let's get into it. So everybody's first impression of you, I think, was very particular. We have this beautiful Russian beauty queen model. But what I think you did very well is you broke a lot of stereotypes or assumptions that people would make about you. What has made you the woman that you are, and how did you bring that attitude into the game?
I feel like, George, you know, from the moment I walked into the game, I kind of knew people won't consider me as a serious player. And, you know, I've had a few interviews. I was like, oh, would you consider to be an underdog and stuff? I was like, you know what? If people started to talk to me, they will know who I am as a person. But I know from perspective of having a blue fluffy jacket coming in on Survivor won't give me, you know, a bit of a credibility to my personality at the start. But I like to play on people's emotions and kind of have that effect of people's like, okay, she's not too bad, actually. She can speak a few words of English. And, you know, potentially she could have been in a good alliance to be with. So I like to kind of create that kind of a silly look for myself a little bit. And it also brings a lot of fun and character to the game. So I feel like that was a good start for me, and what I feel like made me the person that I am and helped me to connect to people is obviously my degree in political science as well as my experience in human resources management that I did for about 6 years. I also worked in real estate, hospitality, so I feel like I knew the way to get to people and show them that you can pursue myself as a serious player. You know, at the start, I want everyone to kind of have a bit of a laugh to see who I am and what type of fun I can bring to the crowd.
Well, you definitely brought a lot of fun. There's no doubt about that. And I think some of your one-liners were some of the best we've ever had on Australian Survivor. But what I really liked about you was your smarts, your street smarts in particular, but you had very good instinct and I think judgment in the game. And that brought you close in terms of a relationship and an alliance with Viola and with Mark. What drew you to Mark and Viola?
I must admit, you know, I feel like we're underestimating our instincts and how our gut feeling leads us to the right people and the right emotions. It's very empowering feeling, and actually watching Survivor right now and watching ourselves on the screen, I was like realizing that it doesn't matter how much of brain cannot comprehend at this moment, but the way your gut feeling is leading you is the only way to the end. So I'm very blessed with having that instinct right in the whole game. And when it comes to Viola and Mark, I had that instant feeling of connection to them before I even spoke to them. I'm very slow burn when it comes to building trust and connections. And actually on day two, I had a bit of a depressed kind of moment in my head. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to connect to people so fast? Because I can see everyone talking to each other so fast. Aussies are very easy to get along with each other, where I'm a little bit of a person that need to observe. So I was struggling with this, but I knew inside of me that I had a genuine feeling towards Biol and Mark and those people that I believe I could connect with. And on day two, Viola actually came up to me. She was like, you know, you're a little bit of an observer. I am too. How are you feeling? I was like, I'm feeling great. I'm just waiting for my people to come to me. And she was like, well, I'm here. Here we go. And it was so mutual. And we didn't even speak on day one as much. But I felt like it was such a good connection. And same with Mark. I would always have a joke before coming on Survivor. And I was like, you know what? The only way to win this game is probably have a diplomatic skill. So I was like, I don't know, being a diplomat would be an absolute gun of a skill, you know, to be in a show. And then here we go, Mark. I was like, okay, so please let's make friends together. So it was a really mutual good feeling about each other. And as I can see throughout the game now, I feel like I did pick the right people to be by my side.
You definitely did. Another thing that I liked about you, and I really like this in Survivor players, is you were unshakable in terms of your decision making. You made a decision and then you stuck with it. You didn't dilly-dally around about it or tiptoe around the edges. Would you say that was a conscious strategy of yours during the game?
I believe it was a part of my strategy. I'm very black and white when it comes to decisions. And I feel like sometimes it could be, you know, there were a few downsides in the game that I could clearly see now and observing it. But at the same time, having the way I am of making decision and just stick to it was something that also would make other players see me and see, you know, this girl, when she makes her decisions, she's stuck to that decision. And we respect that. You can kind of expect this type of pattern of behavior and will make other players, I feel, more comfortable with me, knowing that I won't be fluffing around and thinking, you know, if I need to make my decision different. So I feel like it was a benefit to my game at the end of it. But, you know, a bit of flexibility would be a great tool to have. But, you know, we're working on this. Been in Australia for some time. We're building up a better set of skills when it comes to Survivor game.
Let's talk about some of the things that happen at Tribe Swap. So what I liked that you did right when you swapped tribes, which is one of the hardest parts of the entire game, is you used food and hospitality to reel people in. Can you tell us why you did that?
Oh, absolutely. When I saw myself at the mat and realized we are completely outnumbered, I knew I have to do something. And, you know, even in my culture, food is something that builds a bit of trust with people. And, you know, once you start feeding people and, you know, a bit of a piece of a coconut, make some rice, it kind of open up some conversations and people are more open to speak to you and just some friendly chats. It not necessarily have to be about strategy. It could be just normal chat with people of how are you feeling today? Have a bit of food, relax, have some more. This type of strategy, I feel like, was the best way for me to start talking to people and make that friendly environment being so outnumbered.
Very interesting, very interesting. Very good as well. Food politics is critical to the game. Val, one of the most interesting decisions that you made in the game was when you had to choose between Ferris and Kirby on the new Titans tribe. Why did you decide to back in Kirby over Ferris?
It's a very interesting question, George. And I'm so glad you asked me because, you know, I'm hearing everyone. I was like, Val, well, you're not assigned with Ferris. Ferris is incredible. You should have come his way and stuff. And for us, when we go into the camp, it was pretty steady. Like, it was pretty steady decision. We didn't really had an option of siding with Ferris because when we get in the camp, I was, you know, very nice to everyone, trying to feed everyone and get that connection going. And Kirby had a very great skills of human managing. She was connecting to you on a deeper level. She wanted to be talking about strategies. And I'm the same. Don't come to me and talk about strategy straight away. Get to know me as a person. I want to know who you are, what your values are. And what happened with Kirby, we connected when it comes to values. And we talked about, you know, outside of experience, outside of Survivor, who we are. And when it comes to Ferris's decision to actually connect to Winner and have that strategic talk and not involve me in that strategic talk, it really kind of put me off. In that moment, I was like, you think Winner is in charge of our little, you know, three bins community. You need to speak to me. You need to get to know me as well, because myself, I have a voice, Winner has a voice, and Charles, and all three of us had our own opinion. And at the end of the day, it was just more about the respect that I was expecting to get to know me as a person, then talk to me about strategy and make the pact face to face. Look in my eyes and tell me, what would you like to do? What would you see me doing with you? And I felt like I was just at the bottom of his alliances. And I was like, where am I in that, you know, realigning of we got Ferris, we got Garrick, we got Eileen, Raymond, and then, you know, and then somewhere near the bottom, and I'm not even at the top of the three bins community because you're talking to Winner and Charles more than to me. So it was very decision for me to align with Kobe because we just connected straight away on day one. We talked about values and then we start talking about strategy. So it was a very mutual feeling to get that connection with Kobe at the start.
It's very interesting. And I always respect when you take charge of a situation and you make a decision. Val, on that note, let's go to the most recent episode where Raymond's Oscar-winning performance and his one vote sadly sent you home. What I thought was very interesting, we heard from your perspective in that episode that you didn't want to go along with the Raymond plan when you were talking to Mark. What was it about that whole situation that made you not back your instinct and then sadly it resulted in you going home?
George, I am reliving this moment, you know, day after day, rethinking all the ways of how else I would have managed to do something from not going home. But, you know, Raymond smashed me at the end of it. But what I was thinking, you know, when it comes to gut feeling, I definitely had a weird feeling that something is not right. It just, it didn't click in me and my heart was just not there. And all I was battling in that moment, whether, you know, you've got my instincts and gut feeling, they're telling me something is not right. Maybe go for the bigger target. Maybe this is the chance now to, you know, what's your opinion? And then speak to Mark and you know, propose to him a sort of plan. At the same time, it was the moral aspect of it because Raymond was not eating for several days. Raymond was sleeping on the sand, you know, face down into the sand. Like he literally didn't want to be there. You know, having Scotty just left us crying and make half of the camp cry and then talking about how much of the mental struggles he had to go through being a survivor, you know, having Raymond going through similar stages of, you know, not wanting to be there, I was more battling the feeling of whether my personal game is more important than someone else's well-being and welfare. And that was killing me because I wanted to play a game and I wanted to go in full force. And, you know, when Scotty left and he threw me under the bus, you know, I knew that, you know, this guy, health is more important than my game. Let me sort it out something. I'll figure that and I'll come back and, you know, I'll figure out the plan. And when that happens to Raymond, I was like, man, it's such a good time to come up with a bigger plan. And I remember I was coming up to Mark and I was like, Mark, is it too brutal to drag this guy for one more day? Like he's already suffering. And then Mark was like, Val, you can't do this. I was like, I know. I said, something is just not right. I was like, I don't know what it is. So morality fact of it. And, you know, people see me as an evil at the end of the day. You don't want society to see you in this way. And then you also started to feel like, you know, it's not just your game. Some people are going through tough times. And I just genuinely feel sorry for this guy. If it would be Kirby or Ferris, I might have pushed that button because I know these guys are like brick. Like they can handle it. They can change the whole mindset within a few hours because if they're just speaking to themselves, I think they can get themselves out of it. Where with Raymond, he was quite a reserved guy. And he was very quiet throughout the game. So I was genuinely concerned for him. And I honestly felt sorry. I was like, okay, that's stop thinking about the game. The guy is not okay. Stop thinking about the biggest plan of your entire life. This guy needs help and let him go. So it's a very hard one. And when I think about several times, you know, like every day back to back, what would I've been doing differently? I don't think I would have done differently. I don't think I would push myself because it said this is a moral aspect of it, that battling your gut feeling. And then I said, when it comes to welfare of someone else, you just can't cross path it. Like you just can't cross it and go your own way. I can't go on top of the heads just for the sake of my own game. Maybe it's advantage to me, but at the same time, you know, if it would be a risk of this guy going through much darker times, well, so be it, you know, send me home. And plus, anyway, I got so many cool outfits for Jury Villa. I was like, you know what? You know, I've got beautiful, beautiful colors to show off. I want to experience all the iconic moments of Survivor and the end of it. You know, I'm not losing much. People can see me ugly. People can see me pretty.
And at least there's food and drink at the Jury Villa. One last question, if I can sneak it in. Do you really fight wolves?
It was just one wolf in my entire life. And, you know, you see Jaden, you know, strong man. You see Viola with her six-pack and everyone was like, wow, 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 I can lift 300 kilos. I can do this. I was like, man, what should I? I can't lift, okay? I can run and I can't swim either. I was like, what should I tell them? I was like, okay, you know what? When I was 9, I did fight the wolf. I was like, let me tell them the story. I didn't know it's going to get that popular. But, you know, it kind of put me in the spot that, you know, people know that you can't just play around with me. I've got my set of skills. And if I need to fight another wolf in the Citizen of Survive, I don't know if the wild pig is attacking us in the middle of camp, I'm the person to refer to. I can do the job.
That's it for this week. Titans v Rebels continues Sunday night on 10, and we'll be back next week with more exclusive Titans vs Rebels content on the Australian Survivor Talking Tribal podcast. Thanks for listening to Australian Survivor Talking Tribal, a Network 10 podcast.